As for the scripture reading this morning, we're turned to the book of Psalms and read together Psalm 42. Psalm 42, beginning at verse 1. To the chief musician, Mashil, for the sons of Korah. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Here ends the reading of God's word.
Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, we want to preach the gospel to you according you find in Psalm 42, the first part of verse 11. Psalm 42, the first part of verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. We write above the sermon of this morning to admonish yourself. That's what David is doing in this part of the psalm. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He is speaking to his own soul. Why? To admonish yourself. What's the message for himself and for us? Be not cast down. There is no reason. Be not disquieted. He is cast down, disquieted. Why art thou disquieted in me? It is, but there is no reason. Hope in God. My dear children, for you another time, to admonish yourself. Be not cast down. Be not disquieted. Hope in God. Dear congregation, there is only one people in the world really happy. That's God's people. I cannot express in words how happy you are when your sins are really forgiven. When you are reconciled with God. When God the Father is your eternal loving Father. When the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. And you can say by grace, my Lord and my God. And that you know that He is preparing place for you in the house of the Father. And that He is always praying for you. That you are always in His heart, in His love. And that nobody shall pluck you out of His hands. What a happy, happy person are you when the Holy Spirit is living in you and sighing in you with unspeakable sighs, so that nothing and nobody can fill your heart, the whole world not, no creature. Only God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, to seek His glory, to praise His name, to be in His nearness. My soul thirsteth for God, the living God. And what's your future? When you die today, then you inherit heavenly joy. When you die today, then you are released out of a body of sin and misery. Then you leave a world full of temptations, full of sin, full of the power of the devil. And you enter a world full of glory, eternal glory, a fullness of love and praise and happiness. It cannot be expressed how happy, blessed the people of God is, the man whose sins are forgiven. In the English translation is blessed, and that's true. But in the Hebrew, there's an expression which hardly can be translated. Full of salvation. The fullness of happiness has a man whose sins are forgiven, who belongs to Christ really. Happy is the man. Blessed is the man. You read it so often in the Word of God. It cannot be expressed in words how unhappy you are when you know the way and don't go the way. When you till now rejected Christ by your unbelief, Christ offered to you in His love, in His fullness, in His righteousness. And your heart said, no, not for me, not for me. Why not for you? Yeah, my sins. Why did Christ come, sinner? Why did He come? For the righteous? He came to seek and to save what is lost. Why don't you believe that? Why don't you believe in such a precious, full Savior who calls sinners, only sinners? Oh Lord, Lord, I'm only sinner, not more, but a sinner. Come, says the Lord, you are welcome. I came for you. I came to seek and to save sinners. And it was terrible to reject Christ. Then there is no sacrifice for your sins. Then there is no hope for your life. Then you live and you don't live. As one of the inmates wrote me some weeks ago, Pastor, I was thinking that I was living, but I'm dead. I thought that I was seeing, but I was blind. That's a wonder. When your eyes are opened, I'm blind. I'm dead. I cannot save myself. There's only one. Thou Son of David, be merciful on me. It pleased the Lord, says the crying children. my young people, that please the Lord. When your heart is crying for life, for light, for salvation, for God, my soul thirsted for God, the living God. It cannot be expressed, I said to you, how happy is the Lord's people. Why are they cast down? So often. How is your heart now? Can be so different, isn't it? It can be full of longing. It's possible that you this morning already had sweet moments in seeking the Lord in His communion. And sometimes it can happen that you have the blessing of the Lord's Supper before it is so far. I remember a very nice experience with one of God's children in one of the churches in the Netherlands which I served. That he told us, we had always a meeting at the night of the Lord's Supper's day to share our blessings and cares and questions. And that he was so cast down the whole week. So impossible for such a person as he was to come to such a holy table. Maybe you understand. I think all the Lord's people can understand. So cast down because her unworthiness, her sinfulness, her darkness, her deadness, everybody could go, not see. And she told us that in the morning of the Lord's day, her soul was crying to the Lord. And the Lord came over. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And then everything changed. She couldn't wait to go to the church, to run to his table, to be with the Lord. She couldn't wait. And what happened at a table? I had chosen a portion to read in the Gospel of John, in which that words are written. But I had chosen for myself another portion to speak about. But when I was reading that chapter, my heart was drawn to that precious words. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And then the Lord gave to speak about that, these precious words with such a liberty. And she was so confirmed in her faith and strengthened that what the Lord spoke to her in the morning, his servant spoke to her at the table. The Lord is the living God. So cast down. Maybe you are cast down too. There can often be such a fear in the hearts of the Lord's people when they see the holiness. It's the Holy Supper. It's such a holy God. It's such a holy service. And I, when I look back in the week past, my thoughts, my lusts, my desires, my words, unworthy, unworthy, cast down. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? David is admonishing himself. That can be very needful. Can be very needed, can be very useful to admonish yourself. Are my feelings the right feelings? Is it right that I'm so cast down? And he is questioning himself why. He feels It's not right. You have no reason, really, to be cast down when your soul is thirsting for God, the living God. When you know in the past what it is to be filled with the love of God. But why is he cast down? You can understand. Everybody of the Lord's people in our midst can understand. For there is a unity. A unity in the communion of the saints. The same feelings. The same desires. The same love. The same longing for God. The same thirst. Only can be filled with God himself. He missed God. His soul was thirsting for God. And thirst is a missing. And you cannot miss. I need drink. I need drink. Give me water, water. Give me blood. Give me blood. Give me the blood of Christ. Give me the application of the blood. Give me the peace of the blood. I miss it. I had it. I know what it was. I know what it is. I tasted it. But now I have not it. I'm so empty. I'm so unhappy. I'm so cast down. Give me water of life. I'm thirsty. Why art thou cast down? When this is your situation, it's totally sure. You are a living child of God. Your soul is thirsting for God. Your soul is thirsting for the peace. Your soul is thirsting for the loving kindness of the Lord as a sweet reality in your heart. You had it before. You lost it. For what reason? But you cannot miss it. You can miss everybody, everything. But you cannot miss the Lord. Come here then. Here he is. You are an invited guest. Don't keep back then. Don't deny it. That shall make it worse, not better. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? My soul is thirsting for God. What seems to be against you is before you. That's a sweet expression of Philpot. In his daily devotion, also full of the scriptural experience of the Lord's people. Maybe you know his name, Philpot, strict Baptist preacher. And he, in one of his writings, writes, what God's people writes against themselves is actually for them. It's not against them. It's for them. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He had a troublesome life, it's true. For he expressed it himself, my tears have been my meat day and night. Crying often, why? While they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Continually, that evil voices. It's not true in your life. You are a hypocrite. You are a liar. See what you did. See what you are. See what's living in you. Where is your God? He's far away. He never comes back. You are lost. You deceived yourself. You have no salvation with God. You know that voice, isn't it? Everybody of the Lord's people knows that terrible voice. And everybody knows that terrible fear. To be not a child of God, really. To deceive myself for eternity. To come at the last day. And then to hear, go away, you worker of iniquity. Do you not know that fear? I know. cast down, a hypocrite, a sinner. Voices in you, outside you. Where is your God? He is not there. He shall never be there. You're lost. Cast down. That's a terrible situation. My tears have been my meat day and night. And what he's doing? Crying. My soul thirsted for God, the living God. O Lord, speak unto me. O Lord, come unto me. Thou art the only one. The only one. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Let people talk. Let the devil tempt. Let your own old man come against you. You can expect it. You are in the time of the fight. You are in the middle of the battle. You are not yet at the end. And you know what our catechism is teaching us, that the three deadly enemies of our soul never cease to tempt us and to attack us, the world, the devil, and our own flesh. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou cast down? It's normal that you are tempted, that the bullets are flying around you, that you are in continual danger, that a shield of faith must be for you. It's normal. It's the time of the battle. The enemies are strong. They are doing their uttermost best to kill you. And through all the struggles and bullets, my soul is crying, thirsting for God, the living God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? The victory is sure. And the fact that you are so tempted, that you are so in the heat of the battle, is a clear sign that you are at the side of the Lord. You could have a quiet life. You could have an easy life. Don't you worry about it. No problems. I believe. I go to heaven. I live my life. I enjoy my life. I have no struggle at all. Sometimes God's children can be really jealous. Asaph, never be jealous. Be jealous on the Lord's people here. Be jealous on that people which is in the battle. Be jealous on that people which is tempted, attacked by the devil. Because you love Christ, because you belong to him, you can expect that. It's not against you. It's a good sign. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Another reason was that he was far away from God's house and from God's people. Maybe, my children, you remember that David probably made his psalm when he fled for his own child, Absalom. That can be a reason to be cast down too, isn't it? When your own child wants to kill you. When your own children break your heart. Children never do that. That your parents must be cast down because you never do that. Absalom did. And David had to flee for his own child. Far away from God's house, from God's people, far away from the sacrifice, the sanctuary, the blood. He couldn't miss it. He couldn't miss it.
That's a good sign. Sometimes people can so easily stay at home. It's not here, and I'm glad that it's not here, but in our Dutch congregations, it often happens that when the Lord's Supper is ministered, maybe 20% of the normal attendance stays at home. It's too long. The sermon is short. Terrible thing. I'm glad it's not here. Let it never come. Be always there. That the Lord will be according his promise. Especially there where he makes his love visible in the broken bread, in the blood shed, where his people is gathered around his table seeking the communion with him and the communion of the saints. And David, he missed it.
Cast down, far away, separated from his beloved ones. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? There's no reason. There is no real separation. When your heart is loving the Lord's people, and it does when you love the Lord. Also, when there is a separation in distance, there can be a unity in Christ. There can be a unity in prayer. There can be a communion in the Lord. Also, when there is an ocean between you. Why art thou cast down? There is no reason. Then you have such nice relations. When you are brother and sister in Christ, and then your heart is longing for the true Lord's people to be one with them, you have no reason to be cast down.
But what was still more the reason that David, this poet, was so cast down? All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Not the devil, not people, but the Lord himself. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me.
Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of the waterspouts.
That's hard to feel, not God's love, but God's anger. And also, of course, the feeling of God's anger has always a relation with our sins. When the Lord hides his face and let us feel his wrath, it's always his wrath against our sins. All thy waves and thy billows has God forgotten to be merciful? Shall he never come back? Oh, that's hard. That's more hard than anything else. Our Father says in the Canons of Dort that the hiding of God's face for God's people is more bitter than death. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? All God's waves and billows are gone over me. I sink in the waves of his wrath. I go under. No, you not. You not. And combined with this terrible feeling, I will say unto God,
my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Forgotten, not in his heart, not in his mind, forgotten, forsaken, left. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Psalm 22. God's child, cast down, let people forget you. That people hate you, that the world hate you, that God's people accuse you falsely. It's bitter. Think, remember, Job, but that the Lord has forgotten you. You say, that never can be. And you are right. But the feeling of it, sometimes in our life, it can feel that the Lord has forgotten to be merciful. Heaven closed, Bible closed, everything closed, my heart full of sorrow, no relief. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? It's not true. The Lord has not forgotten you. The Lord shall never forget you. The Lord can hide his face for wise reasons. But he always shall come back. Because Christ has been forgotten. Christ has been forsaken. There's only one who cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That you in all your afflictions never shall be forsaken, never shall be forgotten. And in your crying find relief and rest. And can say, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Be not disquieted. Yeah, it's the opposite of rest, isn't it? I hope you know in your own experience what it is to have rest. To sit at the feet of the Savior, to drink in his precious word, and to experience his rest. I will give you rest. And the Lord's people know what is that rest. When the Lord gave it you, burdened, heavy laden, you came to him, you cried to him, and he gave you rest. But now it's away. Billows, waves, anxious thoughts, forgotten, never true. It was imagination. Is it true in my life? Is it true? That's the most important question, friends. And many people, and they say that they are God's people, but they are not. Never question that. And at the end, they shall hear, go away from me, you worker of iniquity. Yeah, Lord, but I prophesied in thy name. I cast out devils. Go away. It was not true. And you was really never worried about the question, is it true? Is it saving grace in my soul? Did I find rest where the true rest only can be found in the righteousness of Christ only? And was I unable to rest in him with my lost soul, resting in him, receiving rest of him, disquieted? The Lord's people can be so disquieted. Why? Also, in a week of preparation, when the question is coming, can I attend the Lord's table? Am I worthy to sit there? Am I really an invited guest? What can make the heart of God's people so disquieted? I can mention you some things. Maybe it can help you. I have not enough knowledge of my sins. Sin is much more terrible than any man can see. Oh, that my head was water, that I could cry the whole day. I don't. Jeremiah, that precious child of God, he complained about himself. Not enough knowledge of sin. But my dear friend, you shall never, never, never have enough knowledge of sin. But your knowledge of sin and even your repentance, how needful too, is not a foundation on which you can come to the Lord's table. You cannot build on anything in yourself, not your knowledge of sin, not your brokenness, not your repentance. The only foundation is Christ, his fullness. He repented perfectly. He knew sin. Till on the bottomless pit, he bewailed your sins. He repented. He cried out. He sweated blood for your sins. The knowledge of your sins is perfect in him. And of course, when Christ is by faith living in you, you repent, of course. But your repentance is such a small part of what it should be. And your salvation is not repentance, it's Christ. And just this morning I read a small portion in one of our old Dutch divines. Some of you know him maybe, Petrus Immens, nice writer, very gentle and wise in the word, in instructing and comforting the Lord's people. And he said, you must know your sin in so far that you see your need of Christ. And then you see your need of Christ, you have enough knowledge of sin. See your need of Christ. Rely on Christ, flee to Christ, rest in Christ, and you shall not be disquieted any longer. There is enough in Christ, there is a fullness in Christ. Why art thou disquieted in me? Maybe you say, I'm so disquieted, I have not a holy life. When I read sometimes about the lives of God's people, how holy they are, how close they live to the Lord, how far away I am from that. I fear I cannot go, such an unholy man as I am. Why art thou disquieted in me? Do you think to come so far that you are holy enough? Then you came so far as the best hypocrite. God's people never come so far. He must increase. I must decrease. Of course, the desire to be holy. The desire to be Christ-like. That's a fruit of grace. That's in every true believer, of course. But a fear, I have not a holy life. I'm so far away from what I have to be. That shows that there is the longing in you to be holy. Be holy, for I am holy. But all your holiness, friend, is perfect in Christ. He is given us unto wisdom.
righteousness and sanctification. Seek your holiness in Christ, out of Christ. But let your holiness never be a reason to come. For it's not only the holiness of Christ.
And when you are united with Christ, that's true, then there is a desire to be holy. But we have such a small beginning. That's no excuse. That's our pain. That's our problem. And the devil is always busy to show you your dirty garments. Every day, your thoughts, your lusts, your unholy life, and you are so disquieted till the moment that you lose everything, looking unto Jesus, my perfect holiness, and is given us unto sanctification, justification, and sanctification. Everything perfect in Christ. Now I come only on the merits of my Savior. Now I build only on the holiness of my Savior. And the more you do, the more holy you shall be. Actually, the more shall your life be purified. The more you are looking unto Jesus, resting in Him only. That gives freedom. That gives liberty. Have I enough? Do I enough? Feel I enough? Never, never, never. Christ is enough. Christ in all His fullness, He is enough. Christ in all His beauty, Christ in all His love, He is enough. Totally enough. And when your soul rests on Him, and when you come on His command, come ye sinner, come sit here and enjoy my love, my righteousness, my holiness, my total salvation. Christ only. What can make God's people so disquieted? The remembrance of former terrible sins. The remembrance of former terrible sins. Especially in a time of preparation, you can be so tempted that there has been sins in your life so awful, so terrible. You repented, you received forgiveness, but it's coming back as a thorn in your flesh. Things which were in you, things which are in you. Sometimes lusts, desires, terrible, awful, can that be combined with a life as a child of God? Can any one of God's children have such thoughts and such things inwardly as I have? They all have. They all have. No, not all God's children fell in the sins of David and Samson. Not all God's children committed to murder. Not all God's children persecuted God's church. But all God's children feel the seeds of all that evil, terrible things are living in me, coming up unexpectedly. I try to push them away, but they are there.
Wretched man I am, inclined to all evil, unable, incapable to any good. That's the experience of the Lord's people. It can make us so disquieted.
We remember the Apostle Paul, isn't it? I persecuted the church of God. A lifelong pain.
Till he was released at the day of his death. Longing to be perfect. Why art thou so disquieted in me? It's a struggle of all God's people. They have all the same pain and struggle. There is no reason to be disquieted, for you are on the way of the saints.
David is admonishing himself. Be not cast down. Be not disquieted. Hope in God.
Turn you back to everything. Keep yourself deaf for any voice. Turn yourself only to God. In the Hebrew, it can also mean wait for God. Let all your expectation and longing be for Him. That's a good admonishing. That's what we need to. Hope not in yourself. Hope not in your prayers. Hope not in your experiences. Hope not in your holiness. Hope not in anything. Hope in God only.
In us is no stableness. We are so changeable in our feelings, in our experiences. Sometimes we rejoice, half an hour later, we are in the pit. Sometimes the longings of our heart are so strong, and sometimes we feel dead and empty, nothing. Don't hope in yourself. Seek a better sureness.
Hope in God the Father, in His eternal love, in His perfect love, in His unchangeable love. Hope in Him, wait for Him, let His coming fill your heart. May you rest in eternal, divine, unchangeable love. Then you have a sure foundation. Not changeable, not movable. God never changes.
He can hide His face. He can change the feelings which He gives you. But His heart never, never changes. Never. Hope in God the Son, who came for you in this world, who hang for you at the cross, who cried it out in your place, suffering the pains of hell and the eternal wrath of God against your sins. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? To seek you, to love you, to cover you, to forgive you, to fill your heart with eternal love and a sweet rest, to give you everything what you need to come to your goal, to praise, to love, to know your Creator. Hope in Christ, in His perfect righteousness, in His perfect love.
It is finished. Ready. Nothing for you. It's done. Only resting. Only believing. And hope in God the Holy Spirit, who lives in you, who comes in the heart of a sinner, who renews you, who teaches you to believe, to rest, to fight, who gives you the strength, the light, all what you need to come to a glorious end. Hope in God. So David admonished his own soul and our soul, the soul of all God's people. Not disquieted, for there is hope in God, but only in God.
Then you are not a true believer. That's the other side. When you are not a true believer, then your hope and rest is not in Christ only. Then you have all reason to be cast down,
Why are you not cast down, sinner? Why not? You can be in hell today. Why not? Why are you so quiet? I did sleep well. How are you? Oh, nice. Nothing wrong. With an unsaved soul. With an open guilt. With a lost eternity. Not disquieted. It's high time to be disquieted. For you hope not in God. You hope in life. You hope in success. You want to eat a lot. Foolish man, foolish girl. When you have not God as your only portion. When you have not Christ as your personal Savior. When you have not the Holy Spirit dwelling in you and living in you, making you ready for eternal kingdom and glory, then you have all reason to be downcast, to be disquieted.
And yet, the message is for you. There is hope for you.
In God. In God the Father.
Oh Lord, be merciful.
In God the Son. Dear Lord Jesus, be my Savior. In God the Holy Spirit, O Holy Spirit, come in me, live in me.
And therefore the gospel is preached to you. God was in Christ, reconciling the world. And the word of reconciliation is now brought to you, sinner. The Lord is calling you. Don't reject.
Come, cry. Cry to the living God, for he is able and willing to save you, to change you, to fill you. How impossible it seems to be, all things are possible by him. People of the Lord, admonish yourself. Be not downcast, be not disquieted, but hope in the living God, hear his voice, and follow and obey his command for all his true believers, small, little ones, and greater ones. All the family of God, born again to a living hope, is invited, is commanded. Come, for all things are ready. Amen.
We go now to the form for ministering the Lord's Supper. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 11, verse 23 till 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves, Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ has ordained and instituted the same, namely to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great, that rather than it should go unpunished, he has punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he does believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, he so perfectly, as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show forth true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he has laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and does firmly resolve henceforthward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgments to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, warmongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat which Christ has ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Christ, in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely, that we have not perfect faith, that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet since we are by the grace of the Holy Spirit sorry for these weaknesses and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remains against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord has instituted his supper, namely that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he has fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound, that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterward suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and has also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and has humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ in his last supper took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also after supper he took the cup, gave thanks and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and has certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he has taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness and glory. Besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the Holy Apostle says, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we all are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together one wine floweth, and mix itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are ingrafted into Christ, be all together one body, through brotherly love for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who has so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed, towards one another. Here to assist us the Almighty God,
and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood. Ye with him, through God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us, and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic, undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouth and heart, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread of Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high, in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate, at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith led us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him.
Is there nobody else who can say truly, my soul thirsts for God, the living God? Come. The bread that we break is the body of Christ. Take and eat, and believe that Christ broke his precious body to the forgiveness of all your sins. The cup of thanksgiving, which we bless thanksgiving, is the blood of Christ. Take and drink, and believe that our Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood to the forgiveness and cleansing of all your sins. Beloved in the Lord, I want to read with you a portion from Matthew 27, the verses 41 till 52. Likewise, also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' Thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus Christ with a loud voice saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?' Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, 'This man calleth for Elias.' And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, 'Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him.' Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. If any person in this world has been downcast, then was it the Lord Jesus. Any person has been disquieted in his soul, it was he. For the fullness of God's anger was burning in his soul. And who can understand, express that anger? And as great as that anger, endless is his love. He saved others. He who never had any sin, he who was always the beloved one of his Father from all eternity, he came down in our hell, downcast till the bottom. That's the reason that you and I are here, saved, often downcast, because by the grace of God, Christ in us, the desire is living to be perfect, to be filled with the Lord, only His, to be His own, and so far away from it. Christ was downcast. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And therefore we sit here, brothers, sisters, at His table, professing His name, His grace, His love. And who can understand? Who can understand the fullness of that love and grace? And the wonder, why me? The chief of sinners, a place at His feet, a place at His table, lifted up by Him, comforted by Him, filled with Him. My life is Christ, my dying again. Hell closed, heaven opened. The love of God, a sweet reality in our soul. The communion of the saints to be together with all God's true people into all eternity. An eternity before us, full of the love of Christ, never downcast, never disquieted, hope in God. Out of the fullness of Christ, we hope in God. We are lifted up out of all our troubles, all our cares, all our pains. When the Lord is there, I am thy salvation. When He speaks to our soul, when He fills us with His rest, I will give you rest again and again. And there is no better place in the world than at His feet with Mary, to drink in His word, to feel His love, and to know by grace, He saved me. And when that wonder is filling our hearts and life, it shall be visible in our life to His glory. And we have the desire to be a witness in life, a walk in word, and to be used and blessed to win others for this precious Savior. He saved, cannot save, He saved others. Himself, He cannot save. That's a lie, of course. He can, but He didn't want, because He wanted to save you. Therefore, He hung at the cross, and now He is crowned with the crown of glory. Now He is at the right hand of the Father, and He has promised, "Where I am, shall also be my servant." Let our hearts be lifted up to the place where He is. Let our souls be longing to the time and the place that we shall be with Christ. That's far the best, an eternity of salvation. How can I express the greatness of the love of such a precious Savior?
Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord has now fed our souls at His table, let us therefore jointly praise His holy name with thanksgiving. And everyone say in his heart this: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Who has not spared His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, and given us all things with Him. Therefore God commanded therewith His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified in His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth
the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let everyone say with attentive heart in thanksgiving now. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humbly and hearty thanks that thou hast of thy infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto eternal life, and that thou givest us lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of the Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Receive now the blessing of the Lord, and go to your home in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.